We begin a new series of messages on the parables of Jesus. In the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, one-third of the teaching of Jesus is in this parabolic form. And so this is very important teaching. And yet, there was misunderstanding. Not everybody understood why Jesus spoke in parables. And so, in this introductory message on the parables, we will be answering that question, why speak in parables? In fact, Jesus has the disciples put that to him, and he gives a very clear response. And by the way, we do have a marvelous website that is being cared for by a good webmaster who truly is a believer, and he is starting to post on our blog teaching material. I told him I have material for 25 years, and because I'm thinking, I don't have time to do a blog week after week. He says, all the stuff you've done, send it to me. So be looking on our website for the teaching. For example, I believe we have two lessons up, one on the Trinity and one on order of salvation. So you can go to the website and see that, along with the sermons that are preached. So let's pray as we look to the Word. Father, as we look now to Matthew 13 and Jesus' teaching, Lord, we pray that we would grow in our understanding. We pray, Father, that you would give us, each and every one here, eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart that understands and grasps what the Spirit would long to teach us. We pray, Father, knowing that you give to those whom you choose the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. I pray, Father, that that would be all of us here this morning. So we lift our hearts to you with thanksgiving for your word. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Matthew chapter 13. I'm going to read the first 17 verses and then later on conclude that pericope. But let's pick it up, verse 1. That same day, and Jesus, by the way, is in, I believe, you're on Galilee, possibly in Capernaum. But that same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. And great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Then the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? He answered them, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, you will indeed hear, but never understand. You will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and with their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Beloved, this is the word of God. Thanks be to God. I truly enjoy southern New Jersey, and especially at this time of the year, when the stark brown dead of winter gives way to the vibrant colors of the blossoming blossoms, the spring blossoms. You realize that's a vivid reminder of the resurrection? And I'm fascinated by the process of planting and harvesting, from the tractors, I believe, that have finished their work last week, to the sprouts that'll be up in a few weeks, to the harvesters and combines that come out during the harvest time to reap what was sown, displaying the profound truth so easily assumed and forgotten by many. And we have it right out on our bulletin board. I don't see Eddie here, but you know, Eddie Jeffers gave me the bumper sticker. It said starkly, no farmers, no food. You know, we love our farmers. Indeed, the vegetables we will eat for lunch and the grain that fed the herds that becomes the meat on our tables all began with seeds. The plants grow. They need care, nourishment, and cultivation. And though there is much science that directs and determines much of our modern horticulture, the farmer is still reliant on forces that are outside of his control, forces that are truly the domain of God alone, the Creator. Well, I remember a farmer when we served in Muncie, Indiana. It was flat land, even flatter than southern New Jersey. But there were farmers there, one farmer, an elder. He described a bumper crop of corn that was to be the feed for his hogs. And right before the harvest, the rains came. And day after day, it poured and poured and poured. So much water fell from the heavens that the fields were too wet for the harvesting tractors, and the bumper crop of corn rotted in the farmer's field. And, you know, I have to say, he had such a good attitude about it. He was a believer who said, well, it's all in the Lord's hands, and he will provide for me according to his will. Now, in this process of planting, cultivating, and harvesting, God has given to us the perfect analogy for the Word of God and the growth in grace that comes and takes place in the heart of believers. 1 Peter 1:22, Peter says this, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love. So we obey the truth, and it should be a sincere brotherly love is growing within our hearts. Then he gives this imperative, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. And the grass withers, and the flower falls, but the word of God remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. But do you see that? The word of God is like seed that falls on the soil. And Jesus, the master teacher, utilized this farming illustration in the parables of the sower. And there are other parables as well of sowing and harvesting. And he did this to speak the truth of the gospel in such a way that people heard the truth with their ears, but some of them did not perceive what was truly being said. They did not have eyes and ears of the heart, of the spiritual kind. So the word of God is like seed scattered on the soil of your heart. Is the soil of your heart good and rich and fertile? Are you cultivating that soil so that there will be fruit unto eternal life? Or has the seed of the word of God fallen on the hard past on ground filled with thickets and briars. God intends, that's what Jesus says, God intends to reveal, that is to make known, the secrets of the kingdom of God, but not to everyone. Are you among those chosen to receive the truths, the kingdom truths? Beloved, pray for this. Seek this in your life. Cry out to God that you may know the truth of the gospel, that you might know the fruitfulness of the word of God transforming your heart and your life. Well, first of all, what is a parable? The whole crowd stood on the beach, and did you get that? Jesus put out a little way in the boat. He sat down. The people stood up. And, you know, that very feature, the description there gives us the sense that he is using the water as a megaphone, you know, to magnify the sound of his voice. Well, he says the whole crowd stood on the beach, and he told them, this is Matthew, he told them many things and parables. That word is right out of the Greek, parabolo. And it's two words, and it means to cast or throw down alongside of. So a parable is something that is a simile. It's a like saying. And in fact, in Mark's introductory words to a section on parables, he notes in Mark 4:26, Jesus is speaking. He also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like." That's what a parable, it's a similitude, a simile. The kingdom of God is like this, something that Jesus has laid down or thrown down alongside of to give an illustration. It's not a metaphor, it's not an allegory, but a simile, though Jesus does use some allegorical references in his parables. Dr. Knox Chamberlain gives us the etymology of the word, and he says that it is suggestive to shed light on a spiritual truth. Jesus throw down alongside it a picture or illustration. And so in order to perceive the spiritual reality, we must first attend to the picture and let it make its impact on us, on what it's illustrating. The picture here is simple. It's a common illustration. It's something common that people knew about. You know, they would see it at the planting season, the sower who would have seed and he would broadcast it, and some would fall in a path, some would fall in rocky soil, some would fall on the good ground. And there would be differing results, and it was only in the good soil there was a fruitful harvest. And so you wonder what those who heard these things, you wonder what they thought about this teaching. There's no doubt that the image of the sower is familiar. Okay, Jesus, yes, I have that in mind. A guy scattering seeds. So what about it? And can you imagine walking away? They're walking away, shaking their heads. What's he trying to say to us? Even the apostles didn't immediately understand. They had to go to Jesus, where Jesus help them to understand that the kingdom of heaven is like a sower who sows seed. So why speak in parables? Well, in verse 10, the disciples come and they ask that very question. Why do you speak to them, to these people, in parables? You know, why not be forthright, Jesus? Why not just tell it like it is? Well, he did that too. But, you know, and we've all seen a sower, but how is the kingdom of heaven like this? They'd want to know. And so he answered them. Here's why he speaks in parables. To you, it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom, but to them, it has not been given. Imagine that. Wow. Think about that. God is discriminating here. I'm going to let some people know, and others, I'm not going to let them know the secrets of the kingdom. You've got to deal with that, honestly. That's what the scripture teaches. And we may not like it. You know, we may not immediately like it, but we are called nonetheless to submit to it. Jesus goes on to say in verse 12, for the one who has, that is the one who does have some knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom, to him more will be given. And is that not a spiritual truth as we grow in the knowledge of God's word and of Christ and in our experience? We grow more in the knowledge of his kingdom. There was a time when I didn't even know the order of the books of the Bible. My wife had to teach me these things. And now, you know, I've grown through the years. And so more will be given. And he will have an abundance. You know, what's your spiritual knowledge? What's your knowledge of the Word of God? Is it just here in the head? Is it in the heart? Does it line up with the way you're living? Is it illustrative of your life? Are you exemplary in following Jesus and his word? And then Jesus goes on to say, but from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not understand. So he speaks in parables, so on one hand, they see and hear. But on the other hand, they really don't understand what Jesus is getting at. You know, it's really sad. When I go back to General Assemblies, and I am going this summer, and I link up with former friends from seminary, it's truly amazing when I come across a friend who will tell me, you remember so-and-so that was in our seminary class? They're no longer with the Lord. They're no longer teaching the things of the gospel. In fact, they're denying Jesus. They've left their wife and kids, and they've gone off with another woman, and so on and so on. You hear these stories. How can it be? Well, here's how it can be. Even those who seem to have a little bit of the knowledge of the kingdom, if they really don't have it in the heart, what they have will be taken away. Is the Lord taking abundance from you, or what little you have, or is he giving you the abundance? What a delight when you see someone growing in the knowledge of God and growing in the knowledge of the Word of God, and someone who's excited about the Word of God. You know, John Michael, that's the guy in our church like that, you know, came on a Wednesday night and said, I've just listened to 7 hours of your sermons. I'm thinking, what kind of crazy is that? And then he says, this is the place I need to be. God was at work in his heart. And so Jesus goes on to say, another reason why he speaks to them in parables is because he is fulfilling prophecy. We've been in the study of Isaiah for a good while now, but we began with the call of God to Isaiah. And I can't imagine receiving a call like this as a preacher. When I preach, I want God to bring a response that's good. And I'm encouraged by that. But he said to Isaiah, you're going to be preaching to these people, and they're not going to respond, but with hardness of heart. They're going to go from bad to worse. They're not going to like you, Isaiah. But you preach, because that's the purpose for which I've intended. So Jesus, he says here, indeed, in their case, the people that don't understand Jesus' parables, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, you will indeed hear but never understand, and you will indeed see but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their ears and hear, or see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn. And what does Jesus say? And I would heal them. I would heal them. And this is something that the Word of God teaches, and this is what's hard for people to grasp. Yes, Jesus and the Father, the Holy Spirit, they are discriminate with whom they reveal these things. But there's also, on our own part, the responsibility to open our eyes and open our ears and try to grasp these things. The Bible teaches both and. And so you will be held accountable for not learning, for hearing, but not really hearing and perceiving. We will be held accountable for that. And in the end, it will be our own fault. Though yes, God must make the heart alive to the kingdom of God. Let's finish now the parable. We're just about done here. Jesus, after the disciples go and ask, you know, why do you speak to them in parables? And Jesus gives the answer. He says in verse 18, "Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the words of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches it away. Snatches away what's been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on the rocky soil, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. And as for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the word and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and proves unfruitful. As for what is sown in the good soil, this is the one who hears the word, understands it, and he bears fruit and yields. In one case, 100-fold, in another 60, in another 30. So Jesus explains it. And when he gives the explanation, you can see it. There it is. And what he's saying is, this is what the kingdom of God is like. There will be people who don't want to have anything to do with it. They'll hear the word and they'll be angry. They'll hear the word and their hearts will be hardened immediately. And they'll think you're crazy and foolish and ignorant and backward because you believe the Bible is God's word. And then there will be people who will be blessed by the word. There will be a joyful response on their part because they long to be loved and cared for. And people have come to this church and you have responded by loving them and giving to them and caring for them. And some of these have turned away and no longer come to worship with us. Then here, I think the most insidious group is the group where there's growth, the plant springs up, but because they're more concerned about the things of the world, there's no fruit. And week after week, they come and they worship in our midst and they worship at churches all over the world. But they really have no spiritual life within them. How sad the day when the Lord takes from them even what they do have. And then the good soil. What an interesting image. Jesus doesn't say how the soil was good. Did the farmer plow it up first? Did he spread a little manure? You know, that's another thing about South Jersey I don't like around this region. You know, the other day, the manure was ripe in the air. And it was a beautiful day, but the smell was there. I guess farmers just get used to it. Don't you, farmers? I guess you do. Anyway, he doesn't say how the soil was good. In Jesus' day, what they would do is they still would first cast the seed, and then they would plow sometimes the seed under. But the good soil, what is it? If you look at Luke 8, where Luke gives Jesus' teaching on this, Luke 8, verse 15, Jesus says, "As for that is the seed in the good soil. They are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart." In other words, they're sincere. They want to learn. They want to grow. And they bear fruit with patience. In other words, they know it takes time. And hasn't it taken time in our lives? You know, some of the lessons we're still learning. Yes, amen. Amen. I am still learning lessons. But, and he goes on to say, Jesus closes the parable with these words, "Let he who has ears, let him hear." How does that soil become good? You know, you can turn to, if you wish, Deuteronomy 29, where Moses, he has the people who now are going to enter into the promised land, the ones, their fathers who did not believe the report of the spies, and the challenge of Moses to go into the land. God would go before them to defeat their enemies. They didn't believe it, and so they died out in the wilderness. And so in verse 2 of Deuteronomy 29, "And Moses summoned all Israel and said to them, 'You have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants and all his land, the great trials that your eyes saw, the signs and those great wonders. Now listen to this. But to this day, the Lord has not given you a heart to understand, or eyes to see, or ears to hear. In order to see the secrets of the kingdom of God. And you're not going to get all the secret things like, why did God allow this to happen? You know, the truly secret things belong to Him. But the things revealed belong to us and to our children. And that's so important. Do you see? Do you hear? God has to make your heart alive to it. So your prayer might be, Lord, I want to understand. Give me eyes to see and ears to hear. Help me, Lord. And then place yourself in the way of receiving that seed. We have so many opportunities for you to learn the Word of God, for you to learn how church history is important for our spiritual growth. And we'll get 4, 5, 6 out. You know, we should be having all of you. And listen, we know that not everybody can, you know. Sometimes the people that are there when the door of the church is open, sometimes even these people don't really have eyes to see and ears to hear. But place yourself in the position. Get off the hard path. Check and see if your heart is hardened. What are the thistles and thorns that are the issues of your life, the things that you pursue that block understanding of the Word of God, and ask for God to give you eyes to see and ears to hear. I like what James says in chapter 1. He says, my dear brothers, take note of this. This is a passage for me. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. Yes, that means you, Pastor Mike. For a man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent. And listen to this. And humbly accept the word planted within you, which can save you. Amen. Kent Hughes, in his book on Mark's Gospel, he recounted what happened to E.V. Ryo. He was one of the world's foremost scholars of the classics. That is, works that were done in Greek and Latin. And a number of years ago, after having completed a translation of Homer into modern English for the Penguin Classic series, he was then asked by the publisher to translate the Gospels. And at this time in his life, Ryo was 60 years old and a self-avowed agnostic all his life. Hughes recounts that when Ryo's son heard what his father was about to do, he said, it will be interesting to see what Father will make of the 4 Gospels. It will be even more interesting to see what the 4 Gospels will make of Father. And by the grace of God, within a year's time, Ryo responded to the Gospels that he was translating. He committed his life to Jesus. The seed of the word was planted in good soil. Praise and glory be to God. Is the word planted in your heart? Is it changing you? It's a process of which we need patience. And sometimes you got to get out there and you got to pull up the weeds. They spring. You know, I love it here. You know, when I go, I thought of a series I'd do. I want to take a picture of the tractor plowing. I want to get a picture of the buds coming up. I want to get a picture of the young plants, you know. And then the final plant before the harvest. So if you see me down there, I'm sure I'll have the camera. To show that process which Jesus uses to give to us secrets of the kingdom of God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercy to us. Please, please, O Lord, give us eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart that understands these words. And give us grace, Father, and patience one with another, that we may cultivate each other by being patient and having a sincere love and encouraging each other in our faith. And so, Lord, let us be blessed. Father, we lift up our hearts to you and ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.